Well,
we'll get into our Bible study then. Our study tonight is out of Isaiah chapter 7, verses 17 through 25, God's punishment for utilizing human effort versus trusting Him with our fears. Hebrews 11:6 claims that without faith it is impossible to please the Lord. The Lord calls people to trust Him. So if one relies on human effort versus trusting God with what makes him afraid, God disciplines him. This was the experience of Judah's king Ahaz in Isaiah chapter 7, verses 17 to 25. And we study this passage for our insight. I'd like to read the passage first, and then we'll look at it. Isaiah chapter 7, 17 to 25. The Lord shall bring upon thee and upon thy people and upon thy father's house days that have not come from the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, even the king of Assyria. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall hiss for the fly that is in the uttermost part of the rivers of Egypt, and for the bee that is in the land of Assyria. And they shall come and shall rest, all of them in the desolate valleys and in the holes of the rocks and upon all thorns and upon all bushes. In the same day shall the Lord shave with a razor that is hired, namely by them beyond the river, by the king of Assyria, the head, the hair of the feet, and it shall also consume the beard. And it shall come to pass in that day that a man shall nourish a young cow and two sheep. It shall come to pass for the abundance of milk that they shall give, he shall eat butter. For butter and honey shall everyone eat that is left in the land. It shall come to pass in that day that every place shall be where there were 1,000 vines and 1,000 silverlings. It shall even be for briars and thorns. With arrows and with bows shall men come there, because of all the land shall become briars and thorns. And on all hills there shall be digged with a mattock. There shall not come thither the fear of the briars and thorns, but it shall be for the sending forth of oxen and for the treading of lesser cattle. Okay. After Judah's king Ahaz had refused to choose a sign from the Lord to encourage him that God would protect him from his foes in the Aram-Israel alliance, and after God had graciously given him the sign of the supernatural virgin birth of the Messiah in Isaiah 7:10-16, an abrupt grammatical shift in grammar, it's known as an asyndeton, but anyway, an abrupt grammatical shift occurs at the start of Isaiah 7:17, where no connecting conjunction ties it to verse 16. See, normally, if you're continuing a discourse in Hebrew, you'll say, and it shall be that. But here there is no and, there's no conjunction. You're going along and then, bam, you just start off without a conjunction. That is by design. It's for effect. This makes Isaiah 7:17 a forceful climax to the preceding Emmanuel prophecy. And that forceful climax is a pronouncement of divine judgment for Ahaz's unbelief in God as follows. Though God's prophet Isaiah had urged King Ahaz to request a sign from God, Ahaz had claimed he did not want to put God to the test by asking for such a sign, because he already intended to obtain the help of the king of Assyria to counter the threat of Aram and Israel alliance that opposed him. So accordingly, immediately after the Lord had given his sign of the Messiah's supernatural virgin birth in Isaiah 7:10-16, God immediately addressed Ahaz by saying in verse 17, upon thee, however, the Lord will bring the king of Assyria for whom thou hast been seeking. Let me just read that for effect. Verse 16, this is what we covered last week. For behold, before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that you abhor shall be forsaken of both her kings. The Lord shall bring upon you and upon your people and upon your father's house days that have not come, etc. See, that's given for an effect. So, this judgment for unbelief is explained in greater detail in verses 17 to 25 as follows. God would bring on King Ahaz and his subjects and upon his father's house and the kings to come difficult days such as had not come since the day the northern kingdom of Israel, remember this is in the days of Rehoboam, signified in the name Ephraim, had broken away from the southern kingdom of Judah. In other words, very, very hard times are going to be ahead for you. Those hard days would involve the arrival of Assyria's king, but not to help, but to harm Judah. See, Ahaz had hired the king of Assyria to come to be his help to protect him from the Aram-Israel alliance, the northern kingdom and so forth, that had split away from them. He should have been trusting the Lord. But the Lord will often do this in judgment. He'll give you what you request. He wanted the king of Assyria, so God says, yeah, we're going to bring the king of Assyria down, but I can tell you he's not going to be a help. He's going to go after you. He's going to be a hindrance. And it's given as judgment. So, starting in Ahaz's era, Judah was troubled by the Assyrian Empire, to which it had to pay a large tribute. Ahaz called on Tiglath-Pileser, who's the king of Assyria, to rescue him from Aram and Israel, which the Assyrian king gladly did. However, Tiglath-Pileser gave Ahaz trouble, not help. Then in Hezekiah's reign, Sennacherib, another king of Assyria, invaded Judah, who had asked for help from Egypt. And it was about to take it when, in 701 BC, God miraculously delivered Jerusalem. And that's in chapters 36 to 37. Remember where the angel of the Lord went out and slew 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. But he did it only because good King Hezekiah had prayed to the Lord for help. So God's hand was in all of this, for he would whistle for flies from Egypt, and the flies figuratively represent Egyptian soldiers, and for bees from Assyria, and the bees figuratively represent Assyrian soldiers. Now, there's a play here on the figures. He's going to whistle for the flies and the bees. Eventually, the land is going to be so overcome and so devastated by the invaders that there are going to be lots of literal flies and literal bees with all the flowers that are growing in place of the crops. So the Lord, you know, is pulling a fast one on him. He's going to judge them. Now, Isaiah 7:20 describes how Assyria would humiliate Judah, what shaving one's hair and beard signified as it took the silver and gold from the Lord's temple and the treasures from the king's palace. In 2 Kings 16:7 to 9, as hire from Judah to attack and to destroy Assyria. This is a tragic thing that happened. Let me just look at that. 2 Kings chapter 16, 7 through 9. So Ahaz sent messengers to Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, saying, I am your servant and your son. Come up and save me out of the hand of the king of Assyria, king of Syria, and out of the hand of the king of Israel, which rise up against me. And Ahaz took the silver and the gold that was found in the house of the Lord. This is God's money. And in the treasures of the king's house, even his own house, and he sent it as a gift to the king of Assyria. In other words, he emptied out the coffers both in the Lord's temple and in his own house. He's paying them. And the king of Assyria hearkened unto him, for the king of Assyria went up against Damascus and took it and carried the people of it captive to Kir and slew Rezin. So that's how he shaved them. He humiliated them by bankrupting them, taking all their money. And that was a shame, terrible shame. You know, if Ahaz had just trusted the Lord, he would have been able to hold on to his money and not tap the Lord's money and the Lord's riches in the Lord's temple. Just trust the Lord. The Lord would have protected him. Generations later, King Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, and the Lord went out and supernaturally slew 185,000 soldiers. And Judah didn't even have to fire a shot, didn't have to pay a penny. The Lord did it. So this whole thing could have been avoided. But Ahaz didn't trust the Lord. He was just out there trying to solve it in his own power, in his own way. Well, Isaiah 7:21 and 22, speaking of an abundance of milk, told of distress, where the death of young animals left their nursing mothers with no young to nurse, so their milk and curds were plentiful for man. And honey would be plentiful as wild flowers grew in empty fields and bees would be plentiful. These empty fields were created because of the devastation that would occur when the Assyrians came down and just wreaked havoc. The Assyrians were known for being brutal, absolutely brutal. And they would kill people for sport. They would torture people for sport. This is the kind of people they were. So you didn't want to have them as an enemy at all. But they were really rough people. Now, due to such ruin of the land by the invaders, Judah's farmers would have no crops, and briars and thorns would grow up in the land, with the fields being useful only for the grazing of livestock. That's what verses 23 to 25 are all about. Essentially, then, all this would fulfill the sign given Ahaz by Isaiah. He would eat curds and honey, signifying the hardship that was going to come on the land of Judah. So even though God was giving the sign of the Messiah who was to come, and about eating the curds and the honey, talking about the hardship that was going to occur, and there was hardship even in the days when Jesus was just a small child growing up, because Israel was under Herod the Great, and under Archelaus, and so forth. It was really tough even then. But God could see, even though he was giving the promise of the Messiah to come, he could see he was going to have to judge Ahaz. So that's why God signified that the child would be eating curds and honey, which has demonstrated national hardship. So the lesson is, since Judah's King Ahaz chose to handle his fear of the Aram-Israel alliance by calling on the king of Assyria to defeat the alliance versus heeding God's messenger by asking for an encouraging sign from the Lord as to his help, God sent Ahaz what he requested. He gave him the king of Assyria. But that proved to be harmful, not a blessing. So, may we not rely on human solutions for what makes us afraid, but trust in God and do what he says. Then Ahaz used the wealth of God's temple and what he had in his own palace to hire the help of a serious king. So he relied on the mammon of unrighteousness versus God, opposite Jesus' word. In Matthew 6:24, you'll remember Jesus said, you can't serve money and God. Either you cleave to the one or hate it and cleave to the other. And he used the word mammon, which is a derogatory term in regards to money. But it's true. Either money is our God or God is our God. In Ahaz's case, it was money. He was paying off the king of Assyria with money so he could gain his protection. He should have trusted the Lord. So may we then not rely on what money can buy for blessing, but trust in God as our true source of true blessing. And also, when God gives us a message to trust in him as he did to Ahaz, we'd better heed it, lest he judge us. See, God had sent the prophet Isaiah saying, ask for a sign from God. He wants to encourage you. Ahaz rejected him. He paid a price. And ever after this, Judah went downhill, just downhill. Now, there was a bright spot with Hezekiah when he turned to the Lord for help and everything, but everything is just in sort of a downward spiral after this event. So it was a tragic thing that Ahaz did, but God really wants us to trust him and to rely on him.